First, I don't even have to see the flower. I see this little bump on a limb. And I go, oh man, I'm going to have a great harvest this year. Why? Because that bud, that flower, is a sign of fruitfulness. And when I see that sign, I know it's time to go get the insecticide and start spraying those trees. I know it's time to fertilize that tree. I know it's time to take extra time and extra care with that tree so it produces the most fruit possible. But see, if I get the tree and it already has oranges on it, there is not one thing I can do to make that tree more fruitful. And see, when we look for fruit before we pick someone to be a disciple, there's nothing you can do with them. The fruit's already there. It's already set. That's all they're going to have. But when you just see those signs of fruitfulness, well, this person's got what it takes. Oh, they've got potential. Let me work with them. Let me spend extra time with them. And you'll be surprised at the results that come. Because discipleship must be tailor-made. Discipleship fits their gifts and their callings. Fits their situation. Fits what they're going through at the time. I tell people, I've got one of my disciples that lives in a very radical Islamic nation. If he can plant 5 churches a year, I am ecstatic. But I've got another guy that if he doesn't plant 1,000 churches, I'm going to kick him in the rear. Because he's got the potential and he lives in a place that's in the middle of revival. You go into a village and you cough and you plant a church. You know, it's you know, one of those things, you know. It's so bad that when we send somebody to a village just to look at it first, we say, don't say Jesus, don't preach, don't do anything. Because as soon as they start preaching, people get saved, and now we got to give them a church planter. Now, if that guy doesn't do 1,000 churches, something's wrong. But if this other guy does 5, that's wonderful. Well, is that a double standard? No. It's tailor-made. Because I know his situation. I know what he's doing. I know what he's living in. I know what he's having to do. And I know this guy's situation and his potential and what he can do. So is this guy my greater disciple than this guy? No, they're all the same. Because it's not production-based, it's relationship-based. I don't look at them according to what they produce. I look at them according to the relationship that we have, and it must be tailor-made discipleship. Number 3, you must understand that God hooked you up with these people so that you can serve them. You must serve them. See, we want disciples that can serve us, make our life easier. Sorry. You know, hopefully, praise God, I met my oldest son's now 32. He's getting ready to go to Africa as a missionary, and not long ago we went out to eat and he paid the bill. Hallelujah. Took 32 years to get there. You know, but hey, you know, I didn't raise him to serve me. How many of you as parents know you spend a lot of time serving your kids? That's what discipleship is all about. We are to serve them, to help them be what God has called them to be. That's how you bring them to that place of potential. We need to pray for them and pray for their families. I've got pictures of my whole team on my BlackBerry, and every morning I go through the picture of the guy and his wife and I pray for them by name. And I look at their face and I can visualize them. And I pray for them and pray for their families. And when I get emails from them, I know what's going on in their lives so that I can pray for them and really get to know them and their families. You need to pray for them. That's one of the ways you can serve them. Another way you can serve them is you can get to know what's going on in their lives. You teach them the Word of God. Not just sitting down in a classroom, but practically when you're out just sitting around the table talking. Hey man, this is what God showed me in the Word. And just share the Word of God with them. Another way is you can help them get control over their finances. If they're having trouble in that area, help them out. Give them some budgeting. Do you bail them out? No. But you can teach them some financial accountability and some practices. Help them to bring order in their families. So does their family have to look like your family? No. Because I'm still working on getting my family to look like a biblical family. I mean, there's some stuff still in my family that we're trying to get out. So no, I don't want their family to look like mine. I want their family to be a biblical family in the context of where they live. Okay? So we need to help them. That's one of the ways we can serve them. Number four, we help them reach their potential. Help them to reach their potential. And you do that by you make room for them to exercise their gifts. You don't always do it. You let them do it. Help them do it. You need to give them a chance to fail or succeed. You know, some of the greatest lessons some of my guys learned is some failures that they had. They had an idea, and I knew it wasn't going to work, but I didn't shoot it down. I said, well, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's see. I mean, because sometimes they've had some ideas that I thought were really dumb, that some of the greatest things we've ever done. So I let them try. And if they fail, well, it's okay. The Bible says when you fall. It doesn't say if you fall. It says when you fall, get up. See, I'm not as worried that they fall as if they stay down there after they fall. You know, I want them to get back up. Let's go on. Let's learn from that. They say Thomas Edison failed over 1,000 times before he ever invented the electric light bulb. Somebody asked him, you know, doesn't that discourage you? He said, no, I discovered 1,000 ways not to do it. Okay, how do you look at it? So help them reach their potential. Give constructive correction in a spirit of love. Constructive correction in a spirit of love. You know, I've learned something about people. If you have a disciple, they want to please you. And so if you tell them, oh, you'll never do that, you can't do that, you'll never make it, you're a failure, they want to please you, so that's what they're going to be. It's the same with your children. Your children want to please you, so if your children think that you see them as dumb, not able to do it, or you'll never get good grades in school. Well, they want to please you, so they're never going to get good grades in school. But if you tell your disciples you can be anything God's called you to be, dream big, whatever God lays on your heart to do, you can do in the power of the Holy Ghost, they want to please you. So they're going to do whatever God calls them to do. Sometimes it blows my mind. I remember when we first started doing church planting, I was praying and I had this vision that God gave me. I mean, before this, we had planted 5 churches in a year. And man, I was praying and God give me a faith goal for this year. And I felt the number drop in my mind, not my heart, in my mind, 100. Oh man, we're going to go from 5 to 100 churches this year. Hallelujah. So I wrote an email. I was trembling when I wrote this email to my guys and said, guys, don't rebel on me here, but I really want to stretch your faith. You know, I really think I heard from God, and we're going to plant 100 churches this year. And I just knew, man, there's no way that, you know, it's going to be a stretch. So I got three emails back.